Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
That's right. You don't have to be afraid to talk back to me. I won't bite you. That's right. Yes, it's good to be back. Well, we want to thank the praise team, and let's give God a hand praise for them. Amen. Yeah. The musicians, and we thank God for Mary Jo's leadership. Amen. We appreciate everything that they do. I was telling Gary, it's just amazing to me that people have musical talent, because I have none. Amen. I just don't. It's just not in me. I can't carry a tune in an SUV, let alone a bucket. You know what I mean? That's just the way I'm wired. I just cannot do it, you know. And so when I, you know, see Rick or somebody playing the guitar, I'm just amazed. That's just fascinating to me. And God has gifted some people with the ability to sing. And we thank God for Darla. Amen. And I have the pleasure of meeting the McCains today. Her family, they're here with us today. Amen. Let's give God a hand praise for them. Yeah. That's right. That's right. You have a beautiful daughter. You know, your son-in-law, he's okay. No, I'm joking. He's a good guy. He's a good guy. My wife and I, we have three girls. You know, they're not with me today. They're at home being sick and all that. But we have three girls, and we trust and hope that the Lord will bless us to model Christian discipleship like you guys have, obviously, in front of Darla. You know, just look at the fruit, you know. And obviously, she's here today as a testimony to what the Lord has done in your hearts. And I want you to know I appreciate that. That gives me hope and encouragement. Amen. Because sometimes I just want to take my children. No, I'm joking. Just joking. All right. That's the truth. Those of you who are parents understand that. Amen. Nobody can make you more angry than your own children. I have yet to figure that out. You know, I have. Oh, Phil, be careful. Oh, that was Gary. Okay. All right. I won't repeat what he said, but we'll leave that alone. Well, Josh was telling the truth. You know, I plan on preaching a long time today. No, I'm joking. I'm not going to do that. And there is a passage of scripture that we feel led to call your attention to in the book of Psalms. Go with me to Psalm 91, please. And to the young people, I just want to say, love your enthusiasm. Love your energy. That's right. Love that. Yeah. And I know somebody here is thinking, please don't encourage them, Al. Please don't encourage them. Right? No, but I love your enthusiasm. Love your energy. We need that. Amen. All right. When you get to Psalm 91, would you please say, praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, sir. That's right. Praise the Lord. All right. And we're going to read this psalm in its entirety. And our goal today is to just really be encouraging, because it is the new year. This is the year 2012. The Lord has allowed us to make it through 2011. We've all seen some highs. We've all seen some lows. And we're looking forward to what the Lord will do in us in the year 2012. Amen? Amen. Psalm 91. And I know this is a surprise, okay? I'm sure you've never heard this before from me, but I've got the King James Bible. Amen? All right. Just wanted to let you know about that, okay? And it says, and I love the way this is worded in the King James, you have to appreciate the beauty of the language of the text. You just have to. Listen to the words. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word for the hearing and the edification of our souls. This morning, for a few moments, we feel led to preach and teach from the subject, Faith for a New Year. The year 2011 has been a challenging year for most of us. We've seen some highs and we've seen some lows. Just a few of the highs that I want to highlight. You know, one of the things we saw the Dallas Mavericks win the National Basketball Association Championship. That's right. Amen, amen, amen. Now I'm about to show off my immaturity. I was born and raised in Cleveland, Ohio. That's right. I am a Clevelander. And I was happy, especially when the Mavs beat the Miami Heat. Those of you who know anything about LeBron James leaving the fantastic city of Cleveland. And how dare he go down there in the sun of Miami and play for the Heat. That was one of the highs. But probably the greatest high that our country has experienced in the year 2011 is the fact that the war in Iraq is over. Praise the Lord. The troops have come home and are yet making their way home. We've seen some wonderful things in 2011. Yet, in 2011, we've seen some low things. The economy still has not recovered. That's a challenge for all of us in this room right now. We just came out of the Christmas holiday. We were blessed to get gifts for family and friends, but we did not get the opportunity to give the gifts that we wanted to give. We didn't get the opportunity to have the kind of Christmas that we wanted to have, because many of us didn't have the monies that we thought that we would have. The year 2011, we've lost some people in our lives. We've got family members who are no longer with us. That is, there are family members who were here last year this time who are not here to celebrate the new year with us this time. We've had some challenges in the year 2011. But when we look at Psalm 91, we recognize that every believer in Christ Jesus has a wonderful opportunity to approach the year 2012 in faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Let me say it again. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Listen, let me tell you something. I believe the 2012 is going to be a fantastic year. Why is that? Because I've got the Lord. It's not because I've got my education and I've got my abilities and I've got my gifts and my talents and all that kind of good stuff. No, 2012 is going to be a marvelous year because I have the Lord. And since you're a born-again, baptized believer in Christ Jesus, you have the right, you have the opportunity, you have the obligation to look forward to what the Lord will do in 2012. Now, let's be clear. I'm not talking about prosperity theology. I'm not talking about commercial Christianity. Yes, God has called us to look back over the year 2011 and let's repent of our sins that we've committed in 2011. Let's grieve about the people we've lost in the year 2011. Let's be regretful for the mistakes that we've made in the year 2011. But wait a minute, let's look forward to what the Lord will do in 2012. Because you and I are believers in Christ Jesus. We can look forward to what the Lord will do in 2012. In Psalm 91, there are five principles that we want to share with you. The first is found in verse 1. The Bible says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." In verse 2, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, He is my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." The first opportunity that we have in this text has shown us, we have the opportunity to stand upon the foundation of faith. My brothers and sisters, you and I, we all stand upon a foundation of faith. Listen, when we go into the year 2012, we need to make sure that we're standing upon that rock. That rock is Jesus the Christ. The winds may blow, but we need to stand on the rock. The rains may fall, but we need to stand on the rock. Problems may come, but we need to stand on the rock and look forward to what the Lord will do in the year 2012. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place." Did you know that when you have a relationship with God through Christ Jesus, you have a secret place? It is a place that you can go to. Even when you're in a room full of people, you can go to a secret place. Even when there's always calamity all around you, you can go to a secret place. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And let me tell you what he says in verse 2. He says in verse 2, this is what he says. He says in the King James Bible, he says, "I will." Let me tell you what he does not say. He does not say, "I might." "If I get a chance." Oh no, he doesn't talk like that. He talks in faith. He says, "I will say of the Lord that He is my fortress. He is my refuge. He is my God. In Him will I put my trust." What is He? What is my God? Let me tell you what my God is. He is all that, a bag of chips and dip and everything else to go with it. That's who He is. You and I have to stand upon that foundation of faith. Let me tell you. The Bible says, let me tell you what the Bible says. 2,000 years ago, the Bible says that God sent Jesus Christ into the world to die on the cross for your sins and for mine. And the Bible says that God took Jesus, who was in the grave, and the Bible says that God raised Him up from the dead. That's a wonderful thing. But here's the kicker. Watch this. Don't turn there, but in Ephesians chapter 1, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that the same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead is the same power that He gave you and I to walk in newness of life. My brothers and my sisters, look forward to the year 2012. There is a second opportunity that we have here. The second opportunity is found in verse 3. Notice what it says. It says, "Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence." My brothers and my sisters, not only do we have the opportunity to stand upon the foundation of faith, but we have the opportunity to stand against the foes of faith. You know, we live in a world where everybody wants everything to be all fluffy and lovey-dovey, and there's no such thing as right, and there's no such thing as wrong, there's no such thing as evil, and there's no such thing as good, and all that kind of good stuff. But I'm here to let you know that there are foes, there are enemies of faith. And I hope you recognize that it is our blessed privilege to stand against those enemies. When you and I encounter a challenge, when you and I encounter a problem, when you and I encounter a situation, our posture should be, "Okay, Lord, what do You want me to do? How do You want me to handle it?" That is how we stand against the foes of faith. Notice what it says. The Bible says, "Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence." That is, God will get you out of every trap if you trust Him. And I've discovered a lot of times that He will not only get you out of a trap, but sometimes He will take you through some traps. I'm sure you've heard the expression, if God brought you to it, then surely he's able to take you through it. Let's look forward to the year 2012. You know, there's a text over in the book of Samuel. The Bible says that David, you ought to read it sometimes. It's a wonderful passage. David was getting ready to fight with Goliath. All the armies, all the people in the military and King Saul's military, excuse my language, but they punked out. Do y'all say that down here? I'm joking. I know y'all say that down here. This is Texas. Y'all ain't fooling me. I know better. They were cowards. And David decided, I'm going to go up against this giant in the name of the living God, the God of Yisrael. Right? And you know what David did? The Bible says that David, with his little scrawny self, he had the nerve. Watch this. The text says he ran to the battle. That should be our attitude if we are truly people of faith. Whatever the challenge is, run to the challenge. Whatever the challenge is, embrace the challenge. Go in there with your eyes alert and your heart ready, and let's walk in faith. Let's walk in power. Let's walk in the purity of God's word. We have a glorious opportunity in the year 2012. My wife went to the grocery store the other day, and she came back, and she was saying that something, they raised the price on something in the grocery store. I forgot what it was. And I said, baby, that's all right. Because every time they raise the price, God is going to raise our income so we can meet the challenge. Amen. Walk in faith. Trust the Lord. Now, I didn't say it was going to be easy. That doesn't mean it's not going to be stressful. That doesn't mean that there are not going to be times where you're going to say, oh, I just don't understand. How am I going to? No, you don't have to know. Because he knows. He's got a plan for you. And irregardless as to what happens, there is nothing that can happen to you in this life that you can't handle. Let me tell you why. Because God knows how much you can bear. God knows how much you can bear. He really does. There's a third opportunity. It is a wonderful opportunity. The Bible says here, in verse 4, the Bible says, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. I love this verse, verse 7. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, by the way, which is my refuge. I like the way he put that in there. You catch that? Yeah. Thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. Not only do we have the wonderful opportunity to stand upon the foundation of faith, not only do we have the opportunity to stand against the foes of faith, but guess what? You and I have the opportunity to demonstrate the fruit of faith. We have this opportunity to find refuge under God's wings. We have this opportunity to be protected by the armor of faithfulness. We have this glorious opportunity to be reassured in times of terror, danger, and evil. Let me just let you in on a secret. You know, it's fascinating to me how we tell our children lies that have been told us. One of my favorites is, if you don't bother nobody else, they won't bother you. That's a lie. That is a lie from the pit of Hades. As my Uncle Peter would say, he's dead now. Just as sure as you have two holes in your nose. You ever heard that expression? He used to always say, just as sure as you have two holes in your nose. And I was a little kid thinking, well, okay, I guess, yeah, I do. Okay, I got you. All right. Right? Somebody is going to try you. Something is going to test you. And you and I, because we are born again believers in Jesus Christ, have the glorious opportunity to deal with that test by bearing fruit. Because we know the Lord, when we experience a situation, we don't freak out. You do? Okay. I'm going to leave that alone. Okay. Thank God for honest people in the world. Send that boy to Washington. They need him. Amen. That's right. But you and I have the opportunity to demonstrate the fruit of faith. And let me just tell you, I don't always take advantage of that opportunity. Amen. There are times when I just blow it. I know y'all don't, but there are times when I just mess up. But the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have a glorious opportunity to demonstrate the fruit of faith. But there is a fourth opportunity in Psalm 91. It is found in verse 11. The Bible says, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You and I, we have the opportunity to be in community with the friends of faith. You know, we live in a culture where we are fascinated by vampires. Hence the Twilight series. I'm so glad I got out of not going to see that movie. I don't know what to do with myself. Amen. My daughters, they love that series. And Gilbert, I don't know how I did it, but some sort of way I got out of not going to see the most recent one. Excuse me. Thank you, Lord. It's just not my thing, you know. We are fascinated by demons and vampires and all that kind of stuff in our culture. But the good news is that although there are demons in this world, the Bible teaches us that there are also angels that God has dispatched for your disposal, for your protection. These invisible beings, God has created them to be our friends, if you will, to catch us if and when we fall, to watch over us. That's right. You ever read in the Bible, in the text, where the Bible talks about, there's a phrase called the Lord of hosts, the Lord of Sabaoth, right? That phrase literally makes reference to the army of angels that God has at his disposal. I've never seen an angel. But I've seen reports and so forth on TV where people said something miraculous. They felt a miraculous presence in their lives. The Bible teaches that presence is real. We have a wonderful opportunity to walk around with angels. We need not fear anything that will happen in this year. But we need to humbly submit to the will and the way of the Most High God. It is a blessing. Thank you, Lord. There is a last opportunity that we have. It is found in verse 14. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high. Because he has known my name, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. You and I have this wonderful opportunity to walk in the fellowship of the community of faith. The Bible says there in verse 14, Because he has set his love on me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. You know, the wonderful thing about the God that we serve, he's not like friends that we have in our lives. You know those friends? When you're up, they're up with you. But when you're down, guess what? Ain't nowhere around. That's the truth. That's just the way it is. That's human nature. But we have the wonderful privilege of surrounding ourselves with people who believe and know the Lord just like we do. And when one of us feels down, the other one can encourage him. When one person is frustrated, the other person can pray with her. That's what it means to live in a community of faith. We are a community of believers. The Greek word is koinonia. We have fellowship. The year 2012 will present its challenges, let's be clear. But let us walk in faith. Let us walk in hope. Let us believe the Lord. Let us trust him. You know, let's forget about the next slide. I'm reminded of this one passage in Psalm 27. Don't turn there. But it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And then down there in that very, very last verse of that song, you know what David says? He says, you know what? Things got so bad for me that I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You and I, you know what God is looking for us to do? Believe. Trust him. Have faith. That is the nature of all sin. Did you know that? All sin comes down to that one thing. Non-belief. Well, I'm so mad at my supervisor. I can't believe he did what he did. I'm just going to go down there and just cuss him out. Wait a minute. You stepped over the line. See, what you've done is you smacked God in the face. You said, okay, God, you can't handle my supervisor. So I'm going to handle him. No, don't do that. Believe. Trust him. Oh, my spouse is just, I've had it up to here with my spouse. I just cannot take it anymore. I'm just going to leave him. I'm just going to leave her. Wait a minute. Stop. You messed up. What you've in essence said is, God, you cannot handle this. I finally encountered a problem that is beyond your reach. Don't do that. Trust the Lord. I'm not saying don't be hurt, don't be angry, but just trust the Lord. Look for him to move. And if he doesn't move, guess what? Don't you move either. That's right. Amen. Let's walk in faith. Let's walk in faith. Let's trust the Lord. Let's look for him to do marvelous things. Let's put the past behind us. Let's forget about all that other stuff. Okay, it didn't work out. It didn't go the way I wanted it to go. Let's look forward to what the Lord will do. We're going to pray momentarily. If you're here today and you recognize that there are some areas in your life in 2011 that you failed to trust the Lord in, I want to encourage you to come down here and just pray with somebody. You don't have to tell anybody exactly what it was. But just pray with them. Because there's power in prayer. Let's pause. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this joy and this privilege that we have to stand upon your word. We thank you, Lord, for Psalm 91. It is a beautiful psalm. It is also true. Lord, we love you. We love you so much, Lord. We just honor you today. We worship you. We praise you. Lord, because beside you, there is no other. You are our God. You are the truth. You are truth itself, O Lord. You are light. Thank you, Lord. You're the Most High God. We extol you and we exalt you. We give you all your, we give your name all the praise that you so richly deserve. All the honor. All the glory. It belongs to you, Lord. We acknowledge that this morning. Bless us now. In Jesus' name.